Welcome to the One Question Podcast, brought to you by Wabi Sabi Studios. I'm your host, Michelle Cox, and I love having unlikely conversations on uncomfortable topics. It's a huge passion of mine, so much so that I wrote a few books a while back that challenge people's notion on living a life more unconventionally. This entire podcast stems around one question. If there was one topic you wish society would talk more about, what would it be?
Kids who are playing Minecraft and Roblox, some of the predators that are out there, and you're watching TV thinking to yourself, oh, my children are playing a safe game. Check out the conversations your children are having. Get involved.
My guest today is unlike anyone I've ever had on the show before. When he was very young, he was a criminal hacker, and now he protects companies from people just like him. Many years ago in the New South Wales town of Eden, Bastian Treptow was a curious kid and had a fascination for computers and technology. He would disassemble anything or any technology he could get his hands on, including his father's old telescope and his mother's washing machine. After his grandfather gave him an old Pentium 486 computer when he was just 14, Bastian began reading about famous hackers around the world, and they became a source of inspiration for him. By 16, he'd captured national attention and the Australian Federal Police were at his door. Bastian had hacked into a major Australian bank, accessing 40,000 credit card numbers and numerous sensitive data. It was his love of pizza that led to the police tracking him down and ultimately reforming his ways. Years later, Bastian put his skills to good use and founded Control Group with the aim of combating cybercrime. And in 2021, he sold the company for a serious sum that he now doesn't need to work. Today, he uses his time to spread the word on how dangerous and creative cybercriminals are and how you can protect your business and personal life. Bastian is dedicated to inspiring everyone to appreciate security as it becomes an essential part of our lives as we move more and more into a hyper-digitized world. I saw Bastian speak at South by Southwest last year and have been following him ever since on Insta. And I find his content so helpful and insightful, if not at times quite terrifying at how exposed we are these days. But I just had to get him on the show. Let's dive in and learn more about the fascinating and sometimes scary world of cybercrime. Bastian, I am so excited to sit down with you, if not a little bit scared to hear about what you've got to say, but welcome to the One Question Podcast.
Oh, thank you very much for having me, Michelle. Let's not get too scared.
Well, let's start with your topic. If there is one thing that you would like society to think more about, what would it be?
I would love people just to be more aware of how much harm there is out there on the internet. We know that there's keyboard warriors and there's horrible people online, and particularly on the dark web, there's some horrible bits and pieces going on. And if we can raise some awareness around that, people start thinking about how damaged they can get. Like, I've got young couples who have lost their first home deposit. We even have a loan out in their name that they have to pay out for the next 25 years. Just horrific stuff. So I'd be really grateful if Australians thought a little bit more about cybercrime and let go of that "she'll be right" attitude.
See, even in your intro, you're freaking me out about people losing that money. So why is this a topic that you're so passionate about, Bastian?
So I was a malicious bad guy in my youth. I got into a bit of trouble with the police for hacking into one of the big four banks and stealing 40,000 credit cards. But why I'm so passionate about it now is I've just seen how much damage it can do to people. You know, when you get to see a business collapse or see someone who's put so much hard work into their small business, or even see a young family, like we do a ride across Australia for a ride for Dolly, you know, online bullying, and this poor girl has committed suicide. You know, I see the real impacts because I work in the industry. If you don't work in the industry, you don't get to see the day-to-day harm, but it's real, it's out there, and it's happening more and more. So that's why I'm just so passionate about trying to raise awareness for it. And I want people like you to listen to a few of the things I say. And if I can protect a few future victims, then worth it.
Yeah, amazing. So let's step back then, because you gave a little bit of insight into your history. How is it that a kid that, you know, you seem like such a lovely bloke, and I've seen you speak a couple of times, very genuine and almost a gentle soul, but how is it you got into doing so much damage to people? How does someone go from that as a kid?
Yeah, good question. So I wouldn't say I was a malicious kid. I was just really curious. So, for example, I took all the alcohol out of my parents' wine collection. So, imagine you're my parents and you've collected all this alcohol for the last 15 years. Reds and whites went into the same vat and I boiled it all up and got all the alcohol out of it. And then in doing so, I set the house on fire. So, that was great. God. Luckily, not too much damage on the slate floor.
And isn't your mother French? So, I imagine the wine would have been top quality.
Yeah, she wasn't very happy with me. In fact, I went upstairs and told her in French because I was terrified of my father, and my mum's ran out of the bedroom. My dad's like, what? Nothing, Dad. It's okay. Mum's got it. But I think that talks to the curiosity of me. I needed to find out why my parents were acting weird when they were drinking. I needed to understand how mum's washing machine works. So I took that apart. I took my dad's telescope apart. I fired rockets through my neighbor's windows accidentally. I would sometimes get into trouble, but I was never really malicious. I'm sure that my neighbors thought I was the worst kid on the planet with a rocket flying through their window. I accidentally almost exploded my father's car with setting off some sulfur plastics next to it. But that curiosity really drove me all the way through life. And it wasn't that I wanted to break into the bank to be malicious and steal money. In fact, all I ever used it for was to buy pizzas, as you can tell from my slightly larger frame these days. I still like pizza.
Sorry, can I segue? Isn't that how you got undone as well? How they caught you? They couldn't find you for ages. They were trying to trawl and find you in the dark web and stuff.
I mean, back then, I don't want to give away my age too much, but back then the entire cybersecurity agency in Australia was three officers who didn't necessarily know a hell of a lot about cyber. And even back then, there was a lot of crime and I was just low down on the list. It was just that it was so obvious. Here's a credit card number that's been stolen with an address that we can go to. So
if someone's listening and they've got a kid like you that's a bit curious and, you know, is into different things, and I mean, I was the same. We had a garage in the back of a house that was bigger than a house, and because Dad, you know, was an engineer and he did a lot of, you know, work and had the most amazing machinery. But I remember one New Year's, there was this massive explosion and my dad and his best mate were out in the backyard and they were giggling their head off and the police turned up, and this is suburban Melbourne. He was testing acetylene, you know, like making bombs in balloons. But what happened when they exploded, all the evidence completely disappeared. So they just pretended it was nothing.
Oh, exactly. I mean, I've got a similar story, and it was in here in Melbourne as well. This is years later, and we used to make these sugar rockets, and you can go and look up online the ingredients to do stuff.
We're not encouraging people to do that.
We're not encouraging people to do that, but sugar rockets are a lot of fun. And I just kept going bigger and bigger, and there's a certain point of critical mass where it won't just exhaust out the back of the rocket, but it actually explodes. And we're in a children's, like a play yard in Melbourne down in Kensington, and it just went boom and the whole kid's yard was on fire, and my friend Stuart and I are trying to put these little fires out and it's melting plastic. And but look, I think the ultimate story here is I wasn't malicious, highly curious, and the reason that I then switched to good was seeing that harm, starting a company and going, you know what, I can make so much money doing this. And I recently sold my company for a lot of money and it's been an amazing privilege. I'm so lucky. And I'm just glad I did that rather than going down a life of crime. And in fact, I'm working with the AFP at the moment to get some kids who potentially have a choice to make. Are they going to delve to the dark side or are they going to go to the light side? And, you know, there's lots of stories that were told when we worked with the AFP of, you know, a kid that was originally captured when he was 15 years old and got a slap on the wrist. And now he's been extradited to California to do a 26-year jail sentence. And he's only, you know, 24, I think, years old. And there's a photo of him on his knees with two police officers in tactical uniforms, blown his window out of his bedroom, arrested him. And, you know, he's going to be 50 when he gets out. Getting to work on that side of it as well is really rewarding. But also to get those hits where you just see those kids who don't listen. And it's so easy to get caught these days.
Yeah, I guess that's a point, right? So how can, you know, parents help their kids from being arrested, I guess? And if you've got a kid, a lot of kids are playing, obviously, online games, and a lot of parents don't really know. They think, oh, yeah, that's Fortnite or that's something else or whatever. But sometimes kids are doing a lot more than that. What's your advice for parents to sort of understand sort of a little bit more about what's going on? Because the rate of technology and how fast this is moving, especially if you've got parents that are not really into that, how can they understand what's happening with their kids and maybe mitigate some of this stuff?
Well, this was frightening, okay? So most of these kids who have done bad things are now in jail, like you talk about Evil and a few other famous cases here in Australia. They were 5 feet from their parents. Their parents like, oh, he's great. You know, he's such a clever kid. He's studying. He's playing online games. He's a nerd. He's going to be the next millionaire. Great. Fantastic. But the advice that I've given, because I just hear this story over and over again, and it's like listening to the story on repeat when you listen to these parents. Join in, find out what your kid's doing. If my parents had understood what computers were and the damage were, there's no, my mum would have kicked my butt out the window if she knew I was trying to hack into a bank. Or even like kids who are playing Minecraft and Roblox, some of the predators that are out there, and you're watching TV thinking to yourself, oh, my children are playing a safe game. It's Roblox, it's meant for kids, it's Minecraft, it's meant for kids. Check out the conversations your children are having. And even scarier, after they go to bed, taking their phone into their bedroom, and those same predators are now in their bedroom talking to them completely unsupervised on a phone. It is it's scary stuff. So the advice for me would be get involved. You can stop these next wave of young criminals here in Australia just by getting involved. And most of these kids have a good moral compass, but they're slowly taught that it's okay by these criminals online, or even worse, groomed to show parts of themselves. And it's just makes me sick.
Mm, yeah, no, it's good advice, Sebastian. I think that getting involved element, and especially even if you don't understand it, but to your point about the conversations and just sitting with them, and, you know, what I find with my nieces and nephews and godsons and stuff, I'm like, tell me about it. Teach me how to play this. What are you doing? What's happening? And it's like I'm showing an interest, you know, under the guise of me wanting to learn about it and for them to teach me stuff, then I can kind of learn a bit more about what's happening with it. Yeah, it's an interesting space. So when you talk about these kids being in jail, so what happened with you then?
So I ended up just doing some community service, yeah. So I was very fortunate. In fact, I met an amazing woman who works for the Australian Federal Police now, Claudia. She told me that had this have happened today, I would have 100% done at least 5 years in jail. So that's chilling to think that the law has caught up with these types of crimes. And whilst I was still innocent-ish in my mind and just mucking around and got a slap on the wrist, that's jail time today.
Yeah, fascinating. So talk about the future. So, you know, we're talking about cybercrime. And also, I mean, I sit on boards, right? So ASX boards, like big company boards, we're always talking about cybersecurity. I'd love to sort of hear your view of that and whether, you know, penetrating testing and all that type of stuff is good, bad, indifferent, you know, what companies should be doing more as well as individuals. Give us a little bit more of a rundown in that space.
Well, the scary thing is we're lucky in a way at the moment that hackers are lazy. So I got to go overseas and meet one of these hacking organizations. We set up a honeypot to try and see what the new types of hacks and how business is being targeted, and got invited by this guy to go overseas. And, you know, 180 staff, four-story building, HR managers, sick leave, the whole works. Extremely well-funded, extremely patient, making millions of US dollars a day. Incredible little business, really, when you think about it. That's who these corporates are up against. And we're lucky that they're lazy and they're using these old forms of hacking because it's still making so much money. But looking to the future, boards and leaders and business owners need to know that that next wave of hacking will come as soon as they stop making money the easy, boring way by, you know, crypto locking your environment or sending you a phishing link. We've got tools now that make us 100% effective in breaking into every Australian and every overseas business we've ever been paid to do so. And like, I'll give you a taster of one of those tools that you as a business owner need to prepare for right now. We have these little AI and neural nets that will infect your email system. So a boring old, what we call business email compromise initial hack. And then it will create a little neural net for you. So Michelle, I'll have a AI that mimics who you are. It reads all your emails. It learns how you talk. If I can find a video of you online, in fact, let's just record 45 minutes of our chat now, and I can create a video avatar of you. I can digitize your voice. And those neural nets will go out into your business and advise me the easiest way to get money out of your business, whether it's data, IP, access, money, whatever it might be. And wow, they're effective. What do you do if you're getting an email from your CEO telling you to transact something, followed up by a phone call, followed up by an SMS? You've got three different verified communication points. You're sending the money, right?
Yeah, they're definitely getting more sophisticated. So how do you combat that?
Call back. So it'll always come from a slightly dodgy SMS number or a phone number. Yeah, just call back. So you can stop this chain of attack just by calling back your CEO, for example, or whoever called you and said, hey, did you make this call? And obviously the answer will be no. And sadly, there's even more sophisticated attacks where we take over your digital phone system, your email system, so it's coming from the right place. But again, all you gotta do is call back and your boss will answer. The real message for leaders here is cyber is this complicated problem and it's got to get buy-in from the whole of business. For example, we get a lot of our hacking done by getting a job as a cleaner and planting devices on site. I have yet to hear of one organization that does cyber training for their cleaners, but the cleaners have complete access to a building after hours and they're a great body of knowledge and people to go, hey, we've got a new cleaner who's just started and why is he dusting behind the printer? Why has he got a little bag of goodies? What's he doing? Let's at least raise some alarms there, call security.
Being aware. No, it's such a good one. I mean, I think that's the thing with all your knowledge in this space. It's like this sneaky, detective type stuff. It's fascinating. A bit more, micro into us as individuals, me, you, how we use our phones, how we use data, how we put stuff online. And then also for kids, in terms of actually all the information that they put online, I say to my, kids, nieces, nephews, all the young people in my life, anything you put online now, if you're doing some sort of dodgy, funny photo that you think is quite hilarious, just think about in, maybe 5 years' time or 10 years' time when you're looking for a job, whether, you're sitting there in front of those people, whether you're going to be happy about them pulling up that photo because it's online forever. And it's fascinating. A lot of the kids don't realize this. And I remember in tourism, I think it was Flight Center years ago, I ran STA Travel, which was a young youth tourism body. So we had hundreds and hundreds of young people that would do random things on Facebook when it first came out. Some of the, other operators started asking access for your Facebook accounts before they employed you. And I was like, wow, that's going to change everything.
Oh, yeah, it's shocking, isn't it? And I mean, so in terms of recommendation, you've hit the nail on the head there. Be really aware of all these copies that you make of yourself. Every time you enter your name online, you're essentially sucking your digital soul out of yourself and having another version of you floating around. And I think the average now is there's over 1,000 identities for the average person floating around. And all it takes is one breach and all that information is out. Another one you said is things like photos. There is now an AI tool that will look at a photo of you, even if you're in your own house, that'll look at time of day, shadows, all these heuristics on the light pattern. And it can generally tell exactly where you took that photo. So it's giving us as hackers location points on where you live, what you do, times that you're likely to be at home. Even biker gangs now are taking social media data and making calculated guesses on if anyone's home or not. So let's ransack your house, for example. I would urge people to take their identity more seriously. And one of the most frustrating ones for me now is every time you set up any kind of account, please set up two-factor authentication and not with your mobile phone SMS, with an app. Because I touched on that story at the start of the day with a young couple who saved up for the best part of a decade to save up $70,000 for their first home. They've come in and a hack has basically jumped into their phone account, which was Optus, and redirected their SMSs. Now, once I've got access to someone's SMSs, all those two-factor accounts that you've got for, let's say, your net banking, I can reset your net banking password. I can take over your identity. I can take loans out in your name. So if that young couple had used an app instead of SMS, they wouldn't have lost that money. They wouldn't be paying back that loan. They got a young baby on the way and they're paying back $150,000 loan over 25 years.
Yeah, it's horrendous. So, I mean, the answer on the social media stuff, is it just to not be on social media?
No, that's not going to happen. I think just be clever about it. If you want to post videos, and I do as well, just be clever about what you're sharing there. That's a great tip that you gave. Are you going to be happy with that being shown in 10, 15 years for a job interview? I would set up two-factor authentication on absolutely everything. I would make sure that you go online to websites like Have I Been Pwned, pwned.com, and see if you've been part of any previous breaches. Because what I do as a hacker when I'm hacking into an organization is I'll get a list of all the employees, and I really appreciate all the information people share on LinkedIn. It's fantastic. It's very helpful. And essentially, I use that information, search the dark web for previous passwords that you've used, and then I get an AI tool to go, okay, pets' names, partners' names, birth dates, suburb locations, postcodes, special characters that they've used before in their password. And AI will most of the time give me a really small subset of keys on a keyboard that I can then use to guess your future passwords. And it's really effective in Australia. And Australians really suck at making passwords complex. So password manager, two-factor authentication, complex passwords. It sounds like a lot and it can be confusing to some people, but it's really not if you break it down.
And if you lose access to those accounts, or as you say, you know, you get hacked like that, then it's going to be a lot more work post that, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And like the businesses that we work with post a serious breach, it's heartbreaking because you could see the little things that they should have done. And I've even heard of like board conversations, oh, we'll put that on the to-do list. And cyber often gets put on the back burner because it's seen as an expense that doesn't lead to more profit, rather than you need to see this as the number one risk to your business. We've all got fire plans. We've all got escape plans. Everyone knows the evacuation point, but go and ask someone in most corporates in Australia, what is a breach? How would you identify one? And who would you go and tell if that was, you noticed a breach happening? A lot of the time they don't know. And that has to be sorted from the board down.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You've referred to the dark web a couple of times. For those that don't know, like, and who uses it? Is it just hackers or people trying to be dodgy about what they're searching for? Or what else is the dark web for?
You'll find a lot of corporates now have websites on the dark web, which is cool. So the dark web was originally made as a way to circumvent the big brother watching us all the time. And it's still used to this day, like communications out of Ukraine, communications out of China. Good, healthy reasons, but there is a lot of people who use it for nefarious stuff. And again, working with the AFP, some of the horrible children stuff on there. It's used a lot to move drugs around the world, and it's used to sell. So hackers generally use it to, let's say if I hack into your organization, Michelle, and I get all the information on the employees, the passwords, the access is what's going to be the most valuable to me. And I'll go and sell that access to other hackers online. And I might sell the access to your organization at $6,000 a pot, but there might be 10,000 people who buy it, and you'll just see your business go to Swiss cheese after that, which is horrible.
And you talk about if you have been, you know, hacked, penetrated as a business, whatever, what's your advice on like negotiating with them? You know, usually they go, pay this money and, you know, we'll give it all back to you. I've read or you've seen some of your stories on that sort of space. What do you tell people to do? Never pay the money, or does it depend? Or
it's such a complicated problem. So the government right now are trying to make it illegal to pay, which I think will be the end of some organizations.
The end of hacker organizations or end of the companies being hacked?
End of the companies being hacked. Like, for example, if you've got a breach and the hackers have deleted all your backups and the only way to recover is to pay the ransomware, just know that they've sold all your information already. Like, they'll say to you, we won't sell it. We're nice guys. We just want you to pay the ransomware. They've sold the access. They've sold the data. They've sold your IP. They've sold all the information on your employees. That's already happened. Where you may need to pay this is to restore your business to operating, well, just a normal operating environment, business as usual, yeah. But it sometimes won't work as well.
Just make an assumption it's gone already. Yeah, wow.
Well, so for example, SQL databases, Exchange databases, backup databases don't like having the storage ripped out from underneath them. And even if you decrypt that database, it can take your IT guys weeks, if not months, to restore those systems, and sometimes just aren't recoverable because hackers are amazing at breaking stuff, not so good at putting stuff back together.
So talk to me about AI. You know, what's coming at us? What's your view in that space, Bastian? Because, I mean, obviously being a very early retired man, you've got lots of time on your hands now. So I'm sure you're like playing with all the new toys and all the things, but, you know, your curiosity doesn't die just because you're retired, right?
No, sometimes I'm terrified. Sometimes I'm excited. I would say to any kids out there or parents of kids, I believe that they're living in the most exciting times ever. So don't be too terrified of it. But realistically, I think AI, in my opinion, is going to create a big shakeup of society. If you look at the Industrial Revolution, the lower classes lost their jobs and then were upskilled into better jobs and a better quality of living. AI does the different. It guts the middle class. So your lawyers, your doctors, and look at the whole field at the moment of these new robotic bodies being built. So Boston Dynamics, you would have seen the funny robots walking around and they can do backflips and things, and there's a lot of fake videos out there, but some of the real ones are still quite incredible. The idea now is to join those robots to an AI large language model, and there's already jobs in the mining sector, so the roughnecks who have to pull the big pipes in and out of the ground, they've got robots that can do that now. They've got robot bricklayers, they've got robot doctors, the legal system. GPT 4.5 can now pass the bar exam to a far better extent than any human. It has perfect recall of the law. So maybe lawyers are safe in the courtroom scene for a while, but the back end legal stuff, house buying, that industry I foresee being gone pretty quickly. So yeah, how does society live without a middle class that essentially props up the economy? It's going to be a interesting thing. And the answer that some people are saying, universal base income, but then you've got a whole swathe of people, and I don't know how well humans do with, here, have a paycheck, and you can live merrily ever on. And I'm the prime example, right? I'm retired, but I'm still speaking, I'm still enjoying things, I'm still curious. I still feel like I have a mission, and that mission is to educate Australians. That mission is to understand new technologies and advise businesses and consult with them. In a weird way, I'm actually busier now that I've retired than I was when I was working full time at C3L Cybersecurity. But yeah, so AI. Society-wise, terrifying. From an opportunistic point of view, mind-blowingly positive. So imagine being a child now and you're thinking to yourself, well, I want to build an application that's going to change the world. Look at a Mark Zuckerberg 20 years ago. He needed to learn how to code. He needed to make friendships and networks to get all the skill sets he needed. You can now go and ask GPT, create an agent and said, hey, agent, you're now going to be my senior developer. I need some code that'll do this. Okay, it'll go and do it for you. I need to set up a marketing team. I need to set up, and you can set up these agents that will work for you as a business. And anything you imagine, you can bring to life. And that is absolutely exciting and awesome. And I just can't wait to see the inventions over the next 20 years.
So is that one of the things you're most excited about? Is that, making our lives easier? Further to that, then what are you most concerned about with AI and the future?
No, I'm most excited about what it can do. There's rumors that general intelligence is already being made. Even if it hasn't, it'll be here, in my opinion, by the end of this year at the latest.
What do you mean by general intelligence?
So artificial general intelligence is a human-like level intelligence. So we've already measured GPT to have an IQ of around about 180. So to give you an idea, that's around Einstein level, smarter than most humans. Artificial superintelligence, we are about as smart to a dog as it will be to us. And I'm excited about what it can do and solve. I'm terrified of potentially the downside of that. And I just don't really know which way it'll go.
Yeah, because there's a lot of bad people in the world, right? I mean, I think we rely on, and as you were saying about right at the start with kids, a lot of these kids that are hacking and, they're often curious. They don't mean to be doing bad shit. And they certainly don't want to spend their lives in jail. But there are a lot of bad people out in the world.
I work with a couple of agencies and we get to imagine how we would break Australia. And there are lots of ways to break Australia. One in particular that comes to mind is we could plunge Australia into darkness for the next 6 to 12 months by taking out the power grid, for example. And there's lots of different ways to do that. And yes, there are bad people in the world, but to me, it gives a little bit of an element of sunshine and brightness that it hasn't happened, meaning that either there's enough good people stopping this from happening just before it happens, or there's not as many bad people in the world as we think there are. And I think generally humans, we're sort of humane and we don't like to see harm and suffering, but there's definitely the greed, the politics, the power. And humans do well on a small scale, let's say a small group in a tribe. We don't seem to do so well on a large scale, so the geopolitical, the national level, for example, and even the division we see in Australia and America right now terrifies me, because you'll have these AIs being trained on one side and AI being trained on the other side, and their data is so completely biased. Does that create, once you have sentient AIs, a war in itself? Yeah, I've got goosebumps now because I like to try and be positive, but when you really delve into it, there's a lot of risk there. And the point I was trying to make with the agents before is, these things are already out there on the internet, and short of literally turning the internet off and all power off for 48 hours and purging these systems, the cat's already out of the bag in terms of not being able to turn AI off anymore.
It's around, I guess, you know, how do we control it, to your point about cybersecurity and all the things. So what's next for you? I'm going to put all your contacts in the show notes because I've been following you for so long and you give so many great tips, Bastian. So please keep doing those because I love your stories and your updates and it freaks me out, but I send it to everyone I know to say, have you done this? Have you checked that? So you're compiling all that together and bringing in a bit of an easy format, is that right?
Yeah, correct. So short-term goals for me is to get so much knowledge of all these new scams that are out there and then put them into one spot. So at the moment, all the videos are going up onto Instagram and TikTok. So you can follow me there, bastian.treptel. Eventually, the idea is to compile that all into an application and all these new scams and alerts will just pop up as a notification. You'll watch it and hopefully you won't become a victim of those. And there's just, you've got to give it to the hackers at how imaginative they are. Like they're so good at grabbing onto a current event. Like for example, the Taylor Swift ticket scam thing. Just set up a Facebook account and sell tickets that don't exist. And they made $1.8 million off one account.
Wow. But if most of these are offshore, there's no way in hell our guys are going to ever catch them.
Actually, the AFP now have amazing cooperation globally. So that's another reason that we say to the kids, don't get involved in hacking anymore. We are seeing cooperation between America, Australia, Nigeria. Remember all those Nigerian print scams? So the AFP have got a direct line to the Nigerian police, a lot of the Asian communities as well. That's really moving. And in terms of a longer term plan for me, I think I'm looking and I am working with the AFP looking to sort of give back. I'd like to work with the community to try and stop this hacking and maybe make some AI work proactively. So Microsoft's doing some amazing stuff with Sentinel and AI. So are some other Australian companies. Just working with them to try and put an end to hacking. Or at least make it so hard that it's a small thing.
But it's kind of recognized. I think your story is such a beautiful thing in that regard for kids kind of seeing you and what you do and kind of going, okay, you've got these curious kids that are bloody good at what they're doing. How do we move that into an area that actually they can do good with it? And so, you know, recognizing it's like little hackathons or whatever, I'm sure that there's those kind of things around and the AFP do it under another brand or whatever. And, you know, you identify these kids young and, you know, steer them in a way that their good talents can actually help fight against it, right?
It sounds like a flex, but honestly, I'm trying to do it to show them that they can have, like kids, what do they want? They want a fast car. They want a meaningful career. They want purpose. They usually want to buy their parents a house or something like that. And just by bringing some of my hypercars, sports cars, and they see, wow, this guy worked in a corporate environment and attained all these things in this industry, then hopefully that's enough to steer them on the right path.
Was part of the challenge for you and the excitement of it, is it around that, like what you can break, what you can get through in, you know, and actually getting caught or getting, I know there's a couple of the guys in the US that are quite big. A part of it was actually around the recognition.
Yeah, for sure. But you get that in the ethical hacking industry. Like you'll get a huge organization and they'll say to you, can you go and get an executive laptop, get their password, break into their accounting systems? It's called capture the flag. You've got to walk into these organizations and you're nervous and terrified. And the dog ate my homework scam. We use, you know, one of our staff members' kids to walk in there with a USB stick and say, oh, it's raining and my homework got ruined. Can you plug this in and print it for us? Like, it's just so fun. And you get that challenge and you get that reward when you've captured all 10 flags, for example, and this organization's going, we spent millions on cybersecurity and you just came through us like nothing happened. And then working with the boards, I really enjoy, because a lot of the times, and this is not a go at Australian boards, but they're often on that sort of edge of retirement. They might not have the technical skills and they're relying on usually one person who says they used to work in IT, and because they worked in IT, they're now the cyber guy. The skills in cyber are so different to the skills in IT, and transforming those organizations to a point where it's actually pretty hard for us to break in. We still get in, but we're getting to a risk mitigation point where a real hacker is going to go, that's too difficult. I'll just move on to the organization who hasn't done those things. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so, and as you say, there's hundreds of, if not thousands of organizations that haven't got their shit together. So, and hackers are lazy.
Sadly, most of them have not got their shit together. And I just say to them, well, let me just put a little idea in your head here. This is how we hack today. I don't hack in through your firewall and hack into your computer systems. I look at LinkedIn. I look at social media. I understand everything about your organization. And I figure out what I want from the organization. It might be IP and money, for example. Who has access to that money? Who has access to that IP in their daily job? And how do I manipulate that person slightly so they don't even know they've done anything bad? And that's not even me on a computer system. And you see the boards go, oh, shit, what do we do about this? And there are things you can do. And I really enjoy consulting to those people. And it's great to see some change. But it's very slow and very painful and sometimes frustrating work.
Ah, it's fabulous. Well, I think you're helping lots of people that I know, and myself included, because of your messages you're putting out there. So keep up that good fight, Bastian, because, yeah, as I said, it slightly freaks me out, but being forewarned, forearmed, and actually, you know, trying to mitigate it is better than putting your head in the sand, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you very much for having me on. Appreciate your time and stay safe, everyone.
Thanks, Bastian. Well, there you have it. Wasn't that an incredible conversation? I hope you enjoyed it as much as I've enjoyed bringing it to you. If you did like it, can I ask a small favour? Please rate and review on your listening platform for me. I know everyone asks this, but it seriously makes a difference to help get these conversations out in the world and makes all the hard work and effort I put into this for you all the more worthwhile. And until next time, if you have one question you'd like to ask me, hit me up on my socials or jump on my website, MichelleJCox.com.